Well, so here we are in Chad. We're in Chad. Sounds like a place. Doesn't sound like Chad, Minnesota or something?
It is a place, right? Chad,
Where did you grow up? I grew up in Chad.
Yeah, well.
What was Chad like? Well, it was...
beautiful. Serene.
It was gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Would you introduce yourself, please?
I'm Peter Michelle, and I write music under the name Ebu.
Oh, man, I love Hebu.
Yeah.
Which I'm Jewish, so but I didn't study Hebu.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't mind it. I was literally just in the venue a few seconds ago, and they're making a signature drink.
The Hebu.
And it's called they're rolling with the Hebus, like with the, you know.
Oh, as opposed to the, but you know, they could roll with the Ebus, and that would either be an animal or it would be electronic.
It's true. Yeah. No, I went up to him. I told him that. I was like, people can only get the drink if they say it right. Which is
the Ebu.
Me. Yeah.
Oh, they're not going to go for that. Come on, it's like a seven. How much is your drink? Like $9? I know these guys really well.
To be decided.
So we've got this Craft Spells band, which there's all this, well, let's see, how different was that? There's finishing high school, there's rave reviews, and there's lots of time at home making this. We're going to cover all of that. We're going to get through that.
So I wish people would ask me questions about Lord of the Rings more, because I know so much about Lord of the Rings.
My daughter would be so excited. She's 14, and she's so into anime and fantasy and stuff. She'd be really excited.
It never comes up in conversation, but I want people to you know, quiz me.
So I'm going to do this in quotes just to be annoying. Seattle, it's a different music scene these days. Grunge is gone. But how do we kind of really define how you got to what you're doing and what this music is? Any thoughts on that?
I think that the imagery and scenery of Seattle was a lot more influential than the music scene was.
Yeah, I buy that.
Yeah. And like, of course, I went through all the phases, and I still love all those Seattle bands, like,
yeah.
You know, but I don't really see myself drawing from them a whole lot. But what I do kind of pick up on is like going to certain places in Seattle and getting inspiration from there.
The walk-in closet, how were the acoustics?
There.
Did you put foam in there? Did you, or was it just the hanging clothing and you just kind of walked your way in there?
Yeah, no, I think the coat rack really helped. But it wasn't a lot of acoustics going on. It was like I was recording all the instruments DI and then...
Ah, okay, see, now there, this is why we're going to get geeky, because you see, again, you know, the first thing is like, was it in the box? And the answer is no, it wasn't in the box. So we'll get rid of that so you're not asked that 25 times. Okay, so you're recording the instruments DI. What was the reason to record the instruments DI in the closet? Privacy?
No, it was just cheaper. I didn't have the money to buy the microphones to record amps and things. Yeah, I don't know. I think it happened the way it did for a reason, you know?
Right.
And I'm not, I don't really follow that whole everything happens for a reason thing, but because of that, the way that it was all recorded, it's made for a much different final product, which I am 100% happy with the way it came out.
Which gets to, and I'm going to do this in order of appearance. So then you got the ambient noise from your parents' house, right? And you've talked about hammers and other stuff going on in the background. And in a way, that can become part of the rhythm and part of the piece, right? Makes it sound live.
Yeah, no, I mimic a few of the hammering sounds with my voice a little.
You can kind of move them around and make them part of the beats, man.
Yeah, no, totally. There's two hammer strokes during Shutter Song that have become the drum line now, which is totally accidental.
Well, there were a few people that we were looking at.
It kind of changed a lot when Barsook Records started getting involved, because as soon as I knew that they wanted to put out the record, there a lot more possibilities started coming up, like having it professionally mixed and having it professionally mastered. It wasn't just a DIY project anymore. So the person that I ended up going with is this guy Drew, who is down in LA, and he had done he had mixed a radio thing that we did, and I thought it was pristine. And I kind of looked at his discography and what he had put out, and he's worked with like DuckTales and Kevin Morby and some really awesome bands that I love the way that those albums are produced, and would kind of be honored to have the production in the same alley. So I went down there and I went into the studio with him and we mixed it together, and I think it came out perfectly.
Yeah, I didn't suspect you would just hand it off and expect him to just hand it back to you. Not after you spent all that time with your baby.
Yeah, no, exactly. It was written and recorded over several years, so there was never going to be a moment where it was handed off to someone without me being there.
Barsook. That, you know, if you're going to pick a Pacific Northwest label, there's three or four that are the ones, but, you know, you're on there with Nada Surf. There's some pretty good, pretty nifty people, and yet...
I've obviously made a lot of mistakes with who I've worked with, and I know that's just kind of part of how you learn. A lot of good friends kind of were pushing me towards Barsook, and luckily Barsook were pushing themselves as well, and they're just like the best people to ever work with.
So you don't like getting a lot of sleep. It's a late night thing, isn't it?
Oh yeah, no, totally. That's the move. That's how I.
Yeah, you're quoted. I love this quote that it's kind of like when you're comatose. Some of the best things manage to magically when you wear yourself to a point where you're just hallucinating. That's when it gets really good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's kind of just starts happening more and more when, especially on tour, when sometimes sleep isn't even an option. So you're kind of forced into that. Yep. But it always has good and bad side effects.
Has another owl, other than the original owl, found its way to you? Has that owl kind of gone to another owl and said, hey, you know, you should hang with this guy. That would be pretty cool.
There's definitely been a few that have flown over the van on a late night.
Somewhere. They kind of look down and they go, he named it, it happened.
Yeah,
it's
kind
so cool.
Of like a good luck kind of thing.
Yeah. All right, let's blow this up. I said before we got on here that I was going to blow this up. I'll give you a couple of words, and then we're going to blow them up. Summer warmth. Let's talk about summer warmth. Let's talk about it being... And I mean, you've said it's a summer record, but, you know, I don't know if the Beach Boys even went as far as to say, because, sure... Surfer Girl's a summer record, but I'm not sure that Here Today off of Pet Sounds, I love it. It's like my favorite thing in existence, but that's not a summer song.
Oh, yeah, totally. I think when I've said that, what I meant to say was, to me, it was a summer record.
Right, I just want to get rid of the genre thing, because you get to your second record, if you decide to go completely balls to the wall, what happens? Oh my gosh, what are people going to do if they can't hang on to something?
Yeah, no, absolutely. But that's kind of something that I look forward to, is tearing away from that. That last album, I was very much in like one place when I wrote it, and a lot, you know, all the songs were written in the summer, so I got connotations to that, and that's why I think it's a summer album to me. But that's one of the things that intrigues me most about music, is like it could be a winter album to someone else, and like you know, it's no one person's gonna feel the same way about a song.
But you go deeper. I mean, you talk about colors and you talk about smells and you talk about visuals. Give people a little bit more of a clue of, you know, what's, I guess here's a good way to say it, and I've done this with bands and artists that have been around a long time. When you look at a body of work, there's still a funnel for what's going to be an Eboo song and what's not going to be. What do you think that funnel is? Did you ever think about what that funnel is?
Yeah, no, I for sure think about it, but I haven't gotten an answer yet.
I mean, the fact that it is based on color and smell and, you know, environment is all cool, right?
Yeah, and I would say that a lot of those aspects are just kind of come from, like, other times in my life and were drawn into a particular moment, thus kind of making the song what it is. That's kind of how it works out in my head, I think, is that I take the song that I'm writing and I also am taking in everything that's going on and wherever I am at currently with what the song is making me think of. Whenever I'm writing music, I'm thinking back on like other times as well. So it's just kind of a burrito, if you will,
Guacamole or no guacamole?
Always guacamole.
Always guacamole.
Always guacamole.
It has to be good. Really great songs, half of them are Tootsie Pop. They're candy-coated on the outside, but on the inside they get kind of chewy and dark. And you've got when you, if people kind of get beyond the la 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 and the reverb and the, you know, the high points of some of the instrumentation, you're saying some stuff and there's some darker stuff in there.
I'm glad you picked up on that. That's a lot of people kind of, just because the music sounds one way, they...
But that's my favorite type of song. I love those songs.
Yeah, and like I said, that kind of is what makes the burrito, you know, a mixture of flavors and ingredients. You don't... If I was singing about... If all my songs are about falling in love and all that jazz, then I don't think people would be as interested in it as they seem to be becoming, but that's something I'm still kind of figuring out, I think.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and it's two of your songs on the outside, and then songs by anybody else in between.